It's thrilling to sing about the marvelous hope that we have through Christ Jesus, that a person trusting in Him, should they die, they go to be with the Lord. We look forward to the fullness of time when all will be restored. There will be the full redemption of our bodies, and we shall see Him. We shall be like Him. These are marvelous things to think about. We want to continue thinking about them. But there is something else to consider, and that is that there is another possibility after this life. That's one that we very seldom sing about. In fact, we seldom even think about it. But the Word of God has much to say on the subject of hell. So we want to come to a clear understanding. We hope that the little charts that we have distributed tonight will be of some assistance in helping to picture what the Word of God teaches about existence after death. And we trust that you'll take these notes in hand and jot down the scripture references or take other notes that may be helpful to you in keeping track of what the scripture has to say about existence after death. And hopefully we'll be able to use these to use the scripture to explain to others what we are talking about when we speak of what happens to a person when they die. Now, we've entitled this Existence After Death, not because we like big words, but because it's not entirely accurate to speak of life after death. I really never thought about it before until we were preparing for this Bible lesson for tonight, that there are some that will not experience life after death. They will experience death after death. The book of the Revelation speaks of those who die without the Lord Jesus Christ as experiencing the second death. And so to emphasize that truth, we've used this term existence after death. Everyone will have eternal existence, but not everyone has or will have eternal life. Now in our study, let's begin by looking in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. And we'll consider the basic place of existence, the basic sphere of existence, as presented in the Word of God. And then after having laid this foundation, then we'll look at what the Word of God has to say very briefly on some of the other areas where there is existence apart from what we know here on the earth. Now, in Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ recounts a story of what happened to two men after they died. Luke chapter 16. Now, it is important to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ describes a situation which takes place before His own death, burial, and resurrection and ascension into heaven. This takes place in what we might consider the Old Testament era or the Old Testament dispensation. And when we read on in the New Testament, we find that times have changed and that there is somewhat of a different aspect to this. But if we see what happened to people that died in the Old Testament time, it gives us a beginning or a foundation as to what happens after a person dies. What type of existence is there after or apart from this life? Luke chapter 16, we read, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, or more correctly, and in Hades, H-A-D-E-S, and in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, if you'll notice on the diagram, we've indicated by sort of a flattened egg shape, an area or a sphere of existence called Sheol or Hades. S-H-E-O-L, Sheol. This is an anglicized way of saying the Hebrew word. So if by the word Sheol, you jot down that that is Hebrew or Old Testament. Hades, H-A-D-E-S, Hades, is a Greek word, and it is the word that is used in the New Testament. It is unfortunate that sometimes our English translators have not been consistent in translating the words. And here it should not be translated hell, but it should be just brought right into the English language, Hades, so that we know whereof the Scripture is speaking. So in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. Now tonight we're giving basically a summary of existence after death, and so that we cannot dwell on a number of details. So we're going to have to say some things by way of summary, and if you have further questions, you can approach us or do some more research on your own. But in summary, it appears that the word Hades is used to describe the grave or existence after death. Now, sometimes, as here in Luke chapter 16, it is used in a specific way to refer to one aspect of this area, and that is the place of torments, sometimes called perdition, the place of destruction, of dissolution. So that the word Sheol in the Old Testament is sometimes translated as grave or pit. It refers to existence after death. It depends on the individual and the circumstances whether it refers to a place of the righteous or whether it refers to the place of the unrighteous. But it is a place that is preparatory to judgment. It is not the place that is the final destination. It is not the final destination. So we have designated the whole area as Sheol or Hades. And then this area, Hades, divided into two segments. One, the place of torment, where the rich man went, and then paradise, or Abraham's bosom, as the place of blessing and prosperity. Let us pick up again now in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, verse 24. This rich man cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." He said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." He said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." What a tragic thing, and we've seen that, haven't we? That this is true. We've had one rise from the dead, and still people refuse to believe. The Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, and still people remain skeptical. Still they refuse the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now here is a description given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The one that we think of as being loving and kind and merciful. And yet it is from the Lord Jesus Christ that we learn so much in a descriptive manner about the destiny of those that are not right with God. It is very clear that this rich man was in terrible pain and anguish. And he also had a memory of those that were back here on the earth. And he suffered a physical pain. We do not know what kind of a body or what type of material or at least visual appearance that he may have had, but he certainly experienced these things. And Jesus makes them very clear. Jesus speaks of the desire that he has for just a drop of water to be placed on his tongue. And he speaks of the torment of the flame. This, in this section of Hades or Sheol, that is reserved for those that die not being right with God. Now let us turn to the book of the Revelation and find out what is going to happen. We have indicated that this is not the eternal place or the eternal destination. Now these people are on the path to perdition. You know, John 3:16 speaks of those that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that they should not perish but have everlasting life. Those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, are in danger of perishing. Now, the Word of God is clear. Perish does not mean annihilate or to put out of existence. It means to go into a state of terrible, frightful, miserable type of existence. So those that are destined to perdition are those that are going to perish, not to be annihilated, not to be snuffed out, but to face this terrible torment forever and ever. Now at the end of the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, or toward the end, we find out what happens to those that are in Hades. Verse 11, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, no place to hide. Some people can hide today. They can even hide in church, particularly now at the Church of the Open Bible where we have grown. And it's a lot easier to slip in and out. It's a lot easier to hide behind a post. But in the day of judgment, there is no place to hide. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There is going to be degrees of punishment. Their destiny has been determined, but there will be degrees of punishment. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Verse 14, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice verse 13 and 14. The word hell should have been translated Hades, H-A-D-E-S, Hades. So what happens to those that are presently in Hades at the final judgment, the great white throne judgment by the Lord Jesus Christ? Those that are in Hades have no hope. There is no second chance. There is no further opportunity. They are simply going to be judged to determine the intensity of their punishment. There is no alternative. This is not a judgment to determine whether they should be saved or lost. They are lost. They do not have a question as to whether they shall receive eternal life, but only that they are about to receive the second death. So you'll notice on the diagram at the far right, we have listed hell, the lake of fire, Gehenna. Gehenna is the Greek word, which is a carryover from Hebrew, meaning the place in the valley of Hinnom, a place of the dump, the refuse pile that was kept burning, a place of misery and morass, in a place of smoke and fire. And so this came into the Hebrew language and then was carried over into Greek to represent the hell. Hell with a capital H, not Hades, but the ultimate destiny of those that die without being made right with God. So that we have listed these various designations on the far right-hand side, hell, lake of fire, Gehenna, and second death. What happens to those that die without Christ? They go into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is a place where they are not consumed. We read here in the book of the Revelation an example of the beast and the false prophet that are thrown into the lake of fire. And 1,000 years later, they're still there. 1,000 years of being in this fire and torment, they're still there. They're not consumed. There are religions today, religious sects, even some that go by the name evangelical or Protestant, that believe that somehow the wording of the scripture can be twisted to indicate that souls will be annihilated, that is, put out of existence. But this is not the way the Word of God reads if we take it literally. Let us compare a couple of scripture passages now that speak of the lake of fire. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this in Mark chapter 9. What is this place like? Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into Gehenna, or hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 44, where their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched. Verse 45, to be cast into hell, Gehenna, into the fire that can never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Words from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the loving, merciful, gracious, good shepherd. He is the one that tells us so much about what hell is like. A place, yes indeed, prepared for the devil and his angels, but has now become the destination of those that die without the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 51, the last verse of Matthew chapter 24. Once again, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Chapter 25 and verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Strange thing that there would be fire and no light. This will be a place of outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me. Depart from me, not with the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang hymns that express the marvelous scripture promises that the glory of heaven is to be with Jesus, to see Him, to be in the presence of the Lamb. And here the Lamb expresses, verse 41, depart from me, depart from me. We do not fully appreciate this in our flesh today. As we grow to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ more, this becomes more real. And we understand the implications of this. This is a horrible thing. Depart from me. To have God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, speak to his created being and say, depart from me. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. It never stops. There's no end. everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Some in this life have chosen to be more in the company of Satan and his demons than to be in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ. After this life, they'll have their way, and they'll be fully in that company. Verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." We may not like the subject of hell. We may not like to think about it. I certainly do not. And for many of us, it has terrible implications for those that we love. To think about what hell is about. But it's there. It's in God's Word. And God has made these promises, or these threats, if you will, so clear. There can be no mistaking. There can be no mistaking. And how can anyone take any chances at thinking that somehow maybe God didn't mean what He said? That maybe hell won't be as bad as it is described in the Word of God. How can anyone have this attitude? How can anyone be careless? If anyone reads with any amount of common sense and understanding these descriptions of hell, certainly it ought to bring them to their knees to beg the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sin, to cleanse them from all unrighteousness, to receive them unto Himself. So this is the destination of those that are in the place of torment, that segment of Sheol or Hades, these that have died not being right with God. Now, what happens to those that die today trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we need to go back a little bit to the Old Testament era. We saw what happened to Lazarus in Luke 16. He went to a place called Paradise, or Abraham's bosom. Now, we're going to jump into the New Testament and see what the Apostle Paul has to say. Let's turn, first of all, to Philippians chapter 1. This is going to be what they call a sword drill tonight. That is where you drill in the sword, which is the Word of God. And we'll have good opportunity to see how well we can find these passages. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Philippians 1, 23. What happens now to a person that dies trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior? One thing we need to know is, where is Jesus Christ today? Scripture indicates that He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. Heaven with a capital H, not the atmosphere, not the universe, but the place of God's center of authority and presence in His created world. Verse 23, the Apostle Paul now gives a testimony. "For I am in a strait betwixt two." He's having a difficult situation. He's in what is truly a dilemma. "Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." On one side, he says, "I have a ministry to the saints, and you folks need me." They didn't always realize it, but they did. And the Apostle Paul, by the grace that God had given to him, realized that he had tremendous ministry to the people of God and the revelation of these mysteries and the truths of the Word of God. But on the other hand, he says, "I want to depart." And to him, what did it mean to depart? Notice verse 23, "a desire to depart and to be with Christ." What is the alternative? Either to be here or to be with Christ. There's no in between. Now, there's some folks that feel that a person's put in the ground and they sleep there till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. The Word of God is clear. There's two alternatives for the believer: to be here, to be there. And to be there means to be with Christ. Okay, now, over to 2 Corinthians. Over to 2 Corinthians. Now, remember where Christ is. Christ is seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That means that Christ is in heaven. so that if the Apostle Paul leaves the believers and goes to be with Christ, where does he go? Where does he go? Heaven. He does not go to Hades or Sheol. He does not go there. He goes to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Now, to get the context here, we'll go to verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, on the other hand, verse 8, we are confident. Verse 6, confident. Verse 8, confident. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul has two alternatives: to be here, to be present with God's people, or to be absent from the body. And what does that mean, to be absent from the body? Present with the Lord Jesus Christ. And where is Jesus Christ? In heaven. So that if the believer becomes absent from his body, he doesn't float around. He doesn't get stuck in the grave. He goes to be with Christ. He is present with Him. So that in this new era, this New Testament dispensation, there is a change. Those that are trusting in Jesus Christ go to be with the Lord. So on the diagram, we have indicated up the top of the page, heaven. Now, there is some indication, or at least sort of reading in between the lines, that the Lord Jesus Christ led out the righteous saints, of course all saints are righteous, the saints from that section of Hades known as Abraham's bosom or paradise, and brought them up to heaven. If you'd like to jot down Ephesians 4:8. Ephesians 4:8, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ leading captivity captive. And so there's some indication that the Lord Jesus Christ at some point led these people out of Hades and brought them to heaven to be with Him. So that it is very likely today in our understanding of the Word of God that this section of Hades is now empty. It is now empty. So that those that die without Christ still go to Hades. A place of torment, a place of suffering, a place that seems hard to distinguish from their final destination, which is the lake of fire. Those that die with Christ, in the body of Jesus Christ, they go to be with Him in heaven. Now, are we going to be in heaven forever and ever? No. We're not going to be in heaven forever and ever. So, it's not too easy to answer the question, are you going to heaven or to hell? Because, to start right off, you're not going to either one first. If a person dies without Christ, they do not go to hell first, they go to Hades. And then, ultimately, they will go to hell. When we die, yes, at first, we'll go to heaven. But then after a period of time, we're going to go to someplace different. Now, the Word of God describes this for us in the book of the Revelation, the last two chapters. So, if you would please turn to Revelation chapter 21. Now, you might like to jot down John chapter 14, the first two or three verses. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the fact that in His Father's house there were many mansions, and that He was going to go there and prepare a place for us, and that He would come again and receive us unto Himself. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ did have a place in heaven, and that He was going to get it all prepared for us, so that we do have a place in heaven. We find out that God has a marvelous program prepared for those that love Him. In Revelation chapter 21, the Apostle John is shown a new atmosphere and a new planet. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, this place that the Lord Jesus Christ has been preparing for us, this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Notice verse 4, that famous verse that gives us such marvelous peace and comfort. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And this all has to do with this new heaven and the new earth. Notice down in verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the chapter 22 goes on to describe this new heaven and the new earth, and the marvelous blessings that are going to be there for those from all eternity, that is, from all time, that will be going into eternity, that have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll experience the fullness of the eternal life that has been given to them. These people do not stand before the great white throne judgment. They receive a judgment regarding rewards, the type of rewards, the intensity of their rewards that they receive. Their destiny has been determined by their own choice in this life. So this gives us a sort of a summary or picture of the various places that are described for existence after death. Now, there is one other place that is mentioned in the Bible. It doesn't pertain particularly to us, but it is there in the Bible, and I think it might be of interest to us. And that is the abyss. The abyss. Now, this is described in the book of the Revelation as the bottomless pit. And this is the place in which the evil spirits are kept in chains. Satan's forces have not been allowed to just have free reign upon the earth. And a large percentage of the forces of these evil spirits are kept retained. And this is all described in the book of the Revelation. In Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ cast out demons. And they asked him not to cast them into the deep. Now the word in the original there is this word abyss. They didn't mind going into the water. Remember, they drove the pigs right into the sea. That wasn't the deep they were worried about. They didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ to consign them to this bottomless pit where they would be chained and imprisoned. But we read about this in the book of the Revelation, chapter 9, where great hordes of evil spirits are released to bring great destruction and torment to the people of this earth during the tribulation time. We'd like to read about it. It's there, Revelation chapter 9, the first few verses. In Revelation chapter 20, which isn't too far from where we just were, Revelation chapter 20, we read about this bottomless pit or the abyss. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So this is a temporary holding place for the fallen angels, or evil spirits. And a great portion of them are held in abeyance, so that they cannot interfere with the work of God and ministry of the Holy Spirit here on this earth. But the day is coming when God is going to take this restraint away, and mankind is going to suffer the consequences of this terrible hordes of evil spirits coming upon the earth. So that if you look at the diagram, we see the place of the departed, Sheol or Hades, before the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, divided into two sections. On one hand, you have the place of torment or perdition. On the other hand, separated by a tremendous gulf, is paradise, sometimes called Abraham's bosom. Then the Lord Jesus Christ appears to have led captivity captive and brought these saints to be with him in heaven, and that any person that trusts in Jesus Christ and should die, their soul and spirit go to be with the Lord in this age. And they are going to experience the review by the Lord Jesus Christ, this type of a judgment where they receive their rewards, and they will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll participate in the earthly thousand-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, then they will come to the new heaven and the new earth. That is, a new heaven in the sense of the new atmosphere, the new planet earth, in which the city of Jerusalem comes down, the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, comes down upon the earth. And there will be the place that you and I, that are trusting in Jesus Christ, we will be forever and ever. And there is where we will experience the fullness of the eternal life that we possess now. Those that have died without Christ face the lake of fire, Gehenna, the burning dump, the place of refuge, the place of ultimate perdition. Not annihilation, but a place of darkness. A place separated from God, a place separated from any possible fellowship with the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. A place where there is torment, where the worm dies not, where people anguish for someone to come and place just a moist finger upon their tongue. Now, this isn't dramatic language that an orator has dreamed up. This is language that comes from God's Word. It comes even from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we ought to take fair warning. We have heard the Word of God. We are without excuse. God has kept His Word in many other areas. We have so many evidences of fulfilled prophecy. We've seen how the Lord Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time. And all these things were fulfilled just as God said. And we can be sure that if God has said that there is a hell and what it's like, there is a hell and that's what it's like, whether we like it or not. And we are thankful that God has spoken of salvation and of heaven and the glories of being there and knowing that you have the opportunity of seeing loved ones, but God is going to change us and there's something that we're going to be even more excited about. About seeing a loved one, friends, or talking over things with Daniel and finding out how he made all those predictions. It's going to be to see Jesus Christ Himself. To be with Him. To be in fellowship with Him. To be like Him when we see Him as He is. We trust that no one will be trying to hide tonight from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so much better to come to Him now. To take advantage of a special thing that Jesus has done. You know, if you do not receive Christ, you must face judgment yourself. But Jesus has faced judgment already for you and for me. He experienced what it was to bear the sin of the world. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And it's so much, not just so much, it's hard to find words to express it. It's just so much more, it's just utterly important to come to the Lord Jesus Christ now and face judgment in Him. He has faced the judgment. He has faced the penalty. He experienced death, that we might not have to experience this awful, awful eternal separation from God, this eternal second death. And if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His taking on of sin become yours. And so God sees you as having already paid for your sin and as clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's how God can accept you or me into heaven. We have nothing to offer. Anything that we have would keep us from getting into heaven. But when we shed all our pretenses and all our claims to righteousness and confess our sin, then the Lord Jesus Christ clothes us with His righteousness, and then God can accept us into glory. But the time is coming when no one will be able to hide. You may be able to pretend to hide. Certainly you can hide from us. And in a sense, you may be able to hide from yourself. What a tragic thing to miss out and face this horrible day in which there will be no opportunity to hide and no second opportunity, no second chance. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Thy Word is clear. We know that it is only because of sin in our hearts and rebellion against Thee that there would be any response that would indicate that the teaching of the Word of God on hell and eternal destiny is not clear. We pray by Thy Spirit that You would speak to our hearts to give us a clearer perception of Thy Word. We pray for anyone that has resisted receiving Christ as Savior, that they would resist no longer, but that they would give in, stop their rebellion, and receive Jesus Christ and the gift of God, which is eternal life through Him. We ask for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.